The Kookaburras beat India 7-0 in their gold medal match at the Comm Games last night. We're talking about marriage proposals. Well, this is not a failed marriage proposal after that listener text in saying that he proposed to, or was it him or his mate, proposed to someone at the Eiffel Tower and she said no. Rooster Bob, I proposed in the members of the SCG at the Roosters Balmain game, 1976. We're still married today.
Oh, what a lovely love story.
Well, I hope that was a grand final or a semi-final, not just some ordinary game.
Wonder who won that day, Bob. Mm. If the Roosters won, he would have been ecstatic.
I wonder if he paid for tickets. Just got in one. There, got caught up with the occasion, won the game.
Marry me. Hurries under the posts. George Costanza stuff. What about this one? My wife asked me, but I think she regrets it now, though. Bit of a tough moment. What would you, if it's in the reverse, you would be shocked, wouldn't you? You think, what do I say here?
Oh, you know what I do?
Hamstring?
I was only joking. You doubled down. I was only joking.
Gotcha.
Never really want to get married anyway.
Nev from Maitland makes a good point. Boys, Bulldog is anti-com games because Summer Bay is brushed for 2 weeks.
Well, you're half right, Nev. You're half right. I'll say that. It was good to have it back on the screen last night. Powerful episode first up too.
What happened?
Oh, it's a long story. Tane's in trouble though. Tane's got himself mixed up with the wrong people.
Is it a bit like The Bold and the Beautiful where I can miss
a
month or 2 months and just get straight back into
it? You can catch on pretty quick if you miss an episode or two.
Yeah, right.
Thursday night's 90 minutes, so that's harder to catch up on the Monday.
Now, are you, Denny?
Morning, gents.
Now, hey, you go for it.
I was very impressed with Jamie Swim. I've got to give her a rap, first of all. What an outstanding effort from her. And I was just wondering, boys, did you know if Pup was waiting for her? Isn't he in France as well? Did he go and see if she was okay after the swim and greet her and, you know, any love from
Pup? Well, I think the pupster was, but we've discovered that he was near the Eiffel Tower and he was sipping on the champagne.
Right.
So I think he actually...
Gone to see a colleague, right?
Yeah, he has. Yeah. So, and someone had to take that photo, and we noticed there was another glass in that photo.
Oh.
Yeah, so there's...
Do we know any more?
Not yet. Stand by for Monday, Denny.
You can ask him next Tuesday.
But I am interested. Do you think he could have left the Eiffel Tower to go and see Jamie after that huge effort and say, well done, and, you know, here's some of my champagne?
Look, we love each other, but we do need time apart too.
But I'll tell you what, Denny, it was an amazing swim by JR. Unbelievable.
It's just incredible what she did. And the fact that she's a mum and, you know, and she works, it's just, I think we've all got to be so proud of what she did. It was a fantastic effort.
Yeah. Fantastic effort. Good call. And how about it, Bulldog? I was saying this morning, goes to that pub to put a name famously on the wall. Pub's closed.
You'd just break through the window, wouldn't you?
For sure.
You have to. Not being denied.
Why not? Okay, so the Ricky Stewart situation. You spoke to Raiders CEO Dom Ferner yesterday, Denny.
Yeah, and he was pretty, circumspect about the whole situation. He realises that it wasn't the time or place for the comments that Ricky made, and he said that he's willing, the club apologises to the Salmon family and Jamin, and which is actually interesting because when it all was going down and straight after the press conference, I rang Ricky and asked him whether, you know, he wanted to apologise or back down, and he said no. And I still don't think his apology took Jamin into it. I think that he's sorry for a lot of things, but I don't think he's sorry for the comments he made about Jamin, and I guess that's Ricky's way. And you know, that this is such a fascinating story, and for, you know, it's troubling in a lot of ways as well. Ricky, there's more to this than one incident as a 12-year-old you know, and people want to rip into Ricky and say that, you know, he should get over that, you know, if there was one thing that happened. But there's more to it. Ricky has confided in, I think, certain people over time. I'm fairly aware. In fact, I know what happened. And I think that as a father, you can see where Ricky's anger is coming from. Absolutely. As a professional, he was not professional. And he absolutely did it the wrong way. And I can't defend that he used a post-game media conference to have a crack. But as a father, I absolutely understand his anger. And, you know, sometimes you can't help yourself. And obviously this has been eating away at Ricky for a long, long time. And you guys know him better than I do. He can hold a grudge. And he can have anger, and when he has an opinion of a person or a situation, it's hard for him to change that. I'm not in any way validating what he said at the time he said it. However, I do absolutely understand. I understand the feelings he had towards Jamin Salmon, and whether the Salmon family now want to take this further or not, I don't know. But I was on 100% Footy last night with Gus Gould, and he had his kids in the same sort of environment, and he was very careful in the words he chose. And his advice to everybody was just to now let this slide, because we don't, or you know, probably wouldn't be in anyone's best interest if everything is suddenly on the table. That's how sensitive this situation is. And you get criticised by people for saying, "Oh, Ricky, you know, you shouldn't defend Ricky." And I'm not saying he didn't do anything wrong. Like, I think that other media commentators have said that he did nothing wrong. Well, he did do things wrong. And I think that we've got to acknowledge that he absolutely did the wrong thing by doing this in a public forum, and he made this situation. However, I do feel, as a father, I do feel where he's come from. But Ricky's got to learn to separate his private life from his public life. And in this instance, he made a mistake in that area.
Mm. Denny, now that Ricky spoke to the integrity unit and the information has been passed on to Andrew Abdo, what type of penalty is he looking at?
It's interesting, Laurie. Again, this is a moment that divides everybody, an issue that divides everybody as well. So Andrew Abdo was on 100% Footy last night. I think it was Gus, actually, were talking off air and put it to him about what penalty he was looking at, because I was thinking probably 2 games suspension might be where it ends up. Gus put it to him about 1 game and 20 grand or something like that, and that wasn't what Andrew Abdo was thinking last night. I think that, look, I think that if Ricky was stood down for a couple of games, it might not be the worst thing in the world for him. I think that'd be a suitable punishment. I think that the Canberra Raiders, in the interview I did with Don Ferner, where he actually handled the situation very well, he said that the Raiders club, has already offered Ricky time off to basically deal with this situation, because Ricky's in a... I haven't got my violin out for Ricky to say, poor Ricky, but he's in a very emotional state at the moment. I have not seen him or heard him as emotional as he is right now. I don't know how the Salmon family are. I've reached out to them, and they were wanting to just leave things be for the moment, because I wanted to get the facts from their side of the situation as well, but they weren't willing at that point to discuss things with me. But I think that, yeah, it's been proposed by some people, one game, 20 grand. Well, I don't know if a monetary fine is really appropriate in this situation. I feel like it's got to be a bit of time out of the game for Ricky, and so he's got time to reflect, perhaps, you know, look at how he handles situations where his, you know, his anger comes forward. Maybe he's got to do a course or two. I don't know, but I think a couple of games out might be the best way to handle this. And I think that maybe the Salmon family would be happy with that. You know, some people want him out for the season. I think if that happened, that may be over the top. But I think a couple of games out where he's got to really. Where he can't have any connection with the team and he can't have any input to the team, and where he gets to have a think about the way he handled the situation and how he might handle any future situations in his life might be the best.
Danny, excuse me, interesting to hear comments from Isaiah Papali'i in electronic and print media saying that he will decide in the off-season whether he's going to the Tigers, where I thought he already had decided, and he signed the contract, and he should honour that contract. Where do
pretty
you stand?
Remarkable, don't you reckon, Dog?
Like, well, it was a weird comment to say, I'll decide during summer. It's like, well, no, you've already decided. You've signed the deal.
Well, if I'm Tim Sheens and the Tigers, I'm definitely nervous about all that. That is not that's not something you want to hear as a Tigers executive. Or as a Tigers fan, because yes, like you said, Dog, he's got a contract to go to the club, but this has been going on for some time that you know, we've been hearing rumblings that, you know, he's not happy, and the whole basis of it is that when he signed with the Tigers, Michael Maguire was the coach. Since then, Maguire was resold, and they've got a new coach in Tim Sheens, and I think they even went to the point of trying to take you on a tour around their facilities. I mean, I don't know how that influences you to want to stay if you signed under one coach and you're ending up with another. But unless he's got a clause that says I don't have to be there unless Michael Maguire's coach, then I don't know how he gets out of it unless he digs his heels in and creates a scene, which, you know, it feels like it could be setting up for that. And that's probably the last thing the Tigers need, because, honestly, that club has been through a lot. I felt for them the way that they got... they missed out on their competition points the other day, but I also think a lot of the Tigers' woes and ills are self-made by poor decision-making. It's been a decade of dumb decisions by that club that has got them in the position they are, where, you know, players want out, or they don't like, you know, the changes they've made. And then we go through the whole situation. I was going to call it a charade of trying to get their points back. I mean, anyone could see through that. And the fact that they did that for, or they say they were doing that for their fans, or you know, showing they're standing up to the league. Well, it was just silly. It was really silly, and they should know better than that. As a club that's got you know, highly qualified people around it, they should have known that they were never going to get their competition points back. I don't know why we had to go through that whole thing, other than it's another Tigers PR stunt. That seems to be the main thing that club is trying to do at the moment, is win a PR battle. But by missing out on the points and then not following through with their legal threats, I don't know if they convinced anyone of anything.
Do you reckon anyone will challenge the Panthers, Denny?
No.
In terms of winning the comp? Like, no. I mean, they just... Like last weekend, I thought the Raiders had a good chance to beat them without those players available.
I
picked
the Raiders, I thought they were going to beat them for sure. But they just went. They went down there without two of their, four most influential players in their team, and they did it easy. And Canberra are not an easy team to beat in Canberra. You would think, but Penrith made them look pedestrian. I thought there might be signs of vulnerability, but there were no signs of it. Like they looked, when one guy, like Nathan Cleary, you're taking Nathan Cleary out of any other team in the comp and they'd struggle, but O'Sullivan just stepped up. Dylan Edwards was remarkable. And they are a machine. And the only team that seems to trouble them is Parramatta. But Parramatta quite often can't get out of their own way. And look, if they got to a grand final, I think Penrith may be nervous. But it's a big ask for Parra to get there. I mean, I don't know another team that can really trouble them. It's going to be difficult for anyone to beat Penrith. I don't know what you guys think, but that's how I see it.
Yeah, they look to be the standout. I mean, all the other teams have had their issues, but Penrith, with the depth that they've got, the machine that just rolls on, and they're playing some good football without those superstars, and they'll only be better when they come back. We knew what happened with Manly a couple of weeks ago with seven players standing down from that game against the Roosters. But Ian Roberts, he's saying that a pride round is a must for the NRL?
Yeah, I spoke to him, I wrote about it in my column on the weekend, and his view is that it's great that the NRL participates in the Mardi Gras, but he says that's box ticking. He believes now is the time where we've had this conversation, came out of that column the Bulldog wrote, and he thinks that unless we go through the pride round, it's a kick in the guts to everybody who's, put their neck out in this situation, particularly someone like Ian, who's gone through so much personally and shown such tremendous strength in that space. And he said that it's time now for the game to do it. And, other sports can do it. I don't know whether the NRL can do it, though.
Denny, thank you so much.
See you, gents.
Well, welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast. John from Wingham texts in, "G'day all on this sad morning after the passing of our Aussie icon Olivia Newton-John. Her passing made me think of a brilliant filly named Owen J. Starr that was named after her. That filly's sire was also a brilliant sprinter named Let's Get Physical. Rest in peace, Olivia. Regards, John from Wingham." It's a sports show, but we've lost an Aussie icon this morning. Gee, I'll tell you what, they've covered it on morning TV. It's been on there all morning. But
It's sad, isn't it?
Grease, one of the iconic films. 1978,
I reckon.
Great soundtrack. Grease.
78.
Her and John Travolta.
She was a great ambassador, wasn't she?
Oh, of course she was.
Never got into any trouble. Mm. Certainly never did anything that was offensive to her. Always was a clean skin, well-mannered, well-behaved. And it's really sad, isn't it?
Oh, a lot of people would have grew up watching her on Grease and watching her in that movie and watching her sing. And it's just a shame when, you see an icon of Australian, television industry and, to reminisce about some of those movies. And they've got it on here now with her and Travolta in Grease and the songs that she produced. It was an iconic film, iconic moments, and she was loved. She was loved by everyone in Australia, Olivia Newton-John. One last roll of the dice for the
On the Big Sports Breakfast, let's get the latest from the AFL.
Morning, Paddy.
G'day, boys. How are you going?
Yeah, really well, thanks. Good to have you on the show. And after five straight wins since that loss to Essendon, but what did you learn from the 38-point win against North Melbourne on Sunday?
We'll do a review today, mate. We'll go into the club we had yesterday off, which was nice. But they were really good. North Melbourne, their pressure was really good, and they stuck it up to us for four quarters. So, you know, we had to play well, and we took the win. And then, you know, we'll sort of review it today and move on to this week. We've got a pretty big game against Collingwood, so we'll start getting stuck into that and getting prepared.
Yeah, Collingwood, incredible to see, you know, the fact they've won 11 in a row and just the margins they've been winning by their games by as well, quite narrow margins. What do you see as their strengths?
I think just their will to win, it seems like, is the biggest thing. I'm not too sure exactly what the average of the margins, but I think their last sort of 11 games have been all sort of under that 20 sort of point mark. So it's pretty crazy, mate. They've obviously got that real strong will to win, and we'll have to be on our best this week to try and get the job done. So, yeah, it's really exciting, mate. It's a big game, and we're all pumped for it.
Paddy, talking about being at your best, do you feel as though the Swans are now starting to play the football that will take you deep into September?
Yeah, hopefully, mate. I mean, it's funny. You're sort of always looking to tweak things and try and improve, but I think you spoke about that that loss against Essendon, and we reviewed that, you know, pretty hard and, you know, looked into it pretty deeply and tried to find some things that we thought probably weren't going well. And, you know, probably through the start of the season, we're a little bit inconsistent. You'd sort of win one or two and then we'd lose one. And we sort of had that up and down, sort of bit of shift going with our game, which was, you know, really frustrating. And I think, you know, we've got a lot of older guys who, you know, are really well established. We've also got some young guys coming through too who are finding their feet and learning to play consistent footy. So, I think, you know, over the last 5 weeks, probably seen a bit of a shift in that and just that more four-quarter type performance stuff. So hopefully, you know, it's the right time of the year to be doing it, and hopefully we can keep it going and sort of get to our best over the next few weeks.
Paddy, a lot of scrutiny and headlines surrounding Buddy's future. Do you think it may be a distraction for him?
No, I wouldn't have thought so. I mean, he kicked 4-3 on the weekend and was one of our best. So if he was distracted, I'd love to see him how he's going when he's not. But, you know, I think he's a big boy and he's been through all this before many times. So I don't think it'll be too much of a worry to him. And he's been great. He seems really relaxed. He seems really happy. He's been great with all the boys and his performance has been great. So, there's not much more we could ask him, to be honest.
Paddy, so much has been made of your own story, and I guess on a personal front, to have played 19 games in a side in the top four at this stage, and to have the impact that you've had, if you go back, say, 12 months, I mean, how much belief did you have that you could be in this position?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, man. I know this is the RSN, the betting sort of stuff, and I think if you had $5 on me last year to have done sort of what I did this year and played 19 games, you'd have a bit of money in your account. So, I couldn't imagine it, mate, to be honest. It's been a bit of a whirlwind and it's been crazy, but I've absolutely loved it. You know, a lot is always made of the Swans and their sort of culture, and I feel very lucky to be a part of that. And I think, I've never been in the position before that I am now where, you know, playing finals and sort of building towards September. So it's new for me and it's just something I'm really enjoying. I'm really lucky I get to play with my brother Tom as well and sort of enjoy the experience with him. And I've made a lot of really good mates with the footy club and the coaches are great and the whole sort of community. So I feel very, very lucky, mate. And I'm definitely not taking it for granted, that's for sure.
And have you found Sydney compared to Melbourne? I mean, the spotlight on AFL players down there is out of control. But living up here in Sydney, how have you found it?
Yeah, no, I mean, I've absolutely loved Sydney. I think probably Melbourne is a bit more like what it would be like for rugby boys up here. You know, it can be quite intense at times, but I think you probably just, I mean, what I've found probably in Sydney is that you don't ride the highs as high or the lows as low. You're sort of just always somewhere in between. And I think that's probably largely around just the sort of media and the sort of intensity on AFL that's in Sydney. It's quite small compared to that of Melbourne, and that's something I really enjoy. I think you can sort of go to the club and you clock on and you do your work there and you get into it all, and then once you leave you can sort of switch off a bit from footy and relax. So I think that's something that the boys really enjoy. I mean, I'm one of probably a few that's played both in Melbourne and Sydney, and it's one of the big differences that I find. But yeah, man, I love Sydney. It's a bloody great spot. I love living up here.
Paddy, Josh Kennedy, a hamstring injury again in the VFL over the weekend. Have you come across him at the club in the last... Well, I suppose he said you had a yesterday off, didn't you? But such a shame for him, considering the injury, the bad hamstring he's already done this season.
Yeah, mate, it's shattering, to be honest. I spoke to Joey on Sunday night, and it was really hard to hear, mate. Words filtered around just before we sort of ran out on Sunday, and it was pretty tough, to be honest. But he's one of the great men in footy, Joey, and he's always got a smile on his face, and he always attacks life 100 mile an hour, and I know he'll do that with what's happened now. So he's a very, very valued part of the footy club, mate, and no doubt that'll be the case going forward over the next sort of hopefully little bit.
Yeah, he's been a warrior, no doubt about that. And congratulations on what you've done this year as well, Paddy. Swans fans have loved your contribution. Good luck against the Pies. Massive game on Sunday.
Nah, good on you, boys. Thanks heaps for having me.
Paddy McCartan there. Sydney, $1.47. Collingwood, $2.70. 15.5 is the line. Swans the minus. This is a huge game. The Swans could still finish second, by the way.
Well, if they win this game on the weekend, they will be in second position. I mean... the percentage is
just below Melbourne's.
Just below Melbourne's. Melbourne have Carlton.
Okay, who were battling.
So,
have you seen the Patrick Cripps incident?
Yes.
It is not even worthy of anything, Loz.
He's facing two weeks.
Oh, it's a joke. Yeah. Honestly, if 2 weeks for that, if you go and have a look at it, this is the problem in the AFL at the moment. You may as well not have any contact. Some of the suspensions they're giving out.
Well, it's going to be
going
to be difficult to get off, though. That's the issue. And if you challenge it, I don't know whether they've got the same system as us, where if you challenge, you can get an extra game. But there's only two games to go.
Yeah.
In the regular season,
they're battling to make the eight.
So I don't know. Do you run the risk if it is for an extra game?
Well, I think they're got to now. You got to make the eight first, don't you?
Yeah, but St Kilda. If St Kilda make the finals, they've done a remarkable job, because their two matches to finish the season are against the Brisbane Lions.
Then the Swans.
And then the Swans. Mm. So they're going to have to win two of those games. So I think Carlton will just get there.
The things that happened during the ad break, Loz was just admiring his own arms for a good 30 seconds. Because... it's come up on your sort of memories.
It's come up on my memories. 5 years ago today, it's flashed up on Facebook. There's a photo of Laurie and I on what was known as the Loz and Dog Show, which appeared on the Telegraph website.
Is that where it was? I'd never heard of it. Whatever happened to the Loz and Dog Show?
It should have been Dog and Loz in the first place, but I think it went out the door when you know who got the... gone.
Got the spear.
Yeah.
Got the spear. But
it's a good show.
You were commenting on my rug. It's not a rug. It's just.
I said it looks like a rug in that photo. No,
but I just grew my hair long at that particular moment in time.
I haven't lost any weight from that photo. Looks terrible.
I'm not saying a word, Dean.
You're too nice, Lozza. Oh, good times.
What did you make of my arms, though, in that photo?
Oh, you got some guns on you, mate.
Thanks, mate.
You got some guns on you.
Dave Stanley, 42.
That is just sickening, you two. What about when you're talking about the arms? And what about the way Bulldog just dropped the voice then and started whispering?
Well,
you'll be FaceTiming soon. You love a face. Are you still FaceTiming Bulldog?
Yes. I think we might actually FaceTime on the weekend when we were at the pub, Laurie and I.
We FaceTime too.
For the punters out there, right?
Coach in Canberra.
for the punters out there, I think we've mentioned this before, Loz, but... Bulldog, if you're having a few beers, he'll just start doing laps of the tab looking at his phone. And I'm going, what's going on? This is when I first met you, Dean. And you'll just FaceTime people. And
I like to communicate on the drink.
I know.
I like to talk and learn.
You like to see them. You're an observer, aren't you? You're an observer.
You know what, Dave? There's an old saying, you don't learn when you're talking.
That's true.
So you've got to listen.
Dave, you got to hear Loz's courtesy bus story from last Friday evening. And for our listeners who didn't hear this story earlier.
Well, I was staying about 15 metres from a pub.
That's an exaggeration.
Right? Yep.
So 15 metres from a pub. So we go to the wake and we move on to a pub, and it was time to go, and they said, the courtesy bus is going. So I jumped on the courtesy bus because I thought I was at a different pub. So I did a lap around June E and then ended up back at the pub and then got out and then walked
his 15 metres.
That's gold. And you know what, boys? I bet you were polite and chatting away to everyone. Yeah, yeah. And just, you know.
Really appreciate this lift. I couldn't have got home without you, to the driver.
For Lord Mayor of June E, you would have just been going around and how good. Hey, boys, I am today. We get to some interesting and strange places, but this is I'm at the ICC. I'm at the International Convention and Exhibition Centre on behalf of the company today, so I don't know whether that's a good thing, Tabcorp. All their big guns aren't available, and they said, right, I will send you, Stanley, but it is the Australasian Gaming Expo. So today is the Tab obviously have a stand in, right in the centre, and they're going to be talking to a lot of the people that are in the industry about a new app which is coming out on behalf of Tab, which is very exciting. It's going to be a big spring, but if you love your gaming and think of anything to do with gaming at venues, then this is the place to be. It's extraordinary, actually.
Yeah, we see our fearless producer Will is there next to you as well.
He's sitting right beside me. Well, he's quite excited. I feel like he's out and about. He's out of French's Forest, and he's just he's like an untamed beast.
Gee, you got some screens behind you.
Oh, mate, plenty of screens. And I tell you what, just anything you can think of. Like before, we went for a bit of a wander from chiropractic chairs, which you can sit on while you're in the Tab, to the little bits of... Oh, mate, I'm not kidding. They've got these chairs.
Imagine sitting up in the big chiropractic chair in a TAB and just
imagine that.
Perusing.
And, yeah, they've got... What about these... they've got these things I saw before where they've got like these, obviously, recliners, and they've got these little iPad screens which swing over the top of you, so you don't actually even have to get up. You can just be sitting back.
Foot massages and
foot
everything.
Foot massages.
Well.
Like first
mate.
Class in Tab, isn't it?
First class. And I, what I do like is, as you know, I love Areshes, which is obviously a product that Carlton United have, and they've just positioned our little square here right near the CUB tent. So I'm going to go over and pretend that I've never seen them, done anything, and hopefully they get the samples. Because that's what they do at the Expo, isn't it? Samples, isn't it?
That's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about.
1201?
Or one, actually, 1:31 today.
1:31.
I'm putting in an extra half an hour.
Overtime, do you?
Bit of overtime.
Do you charge for that?
No. It's all just for the love. All for the love, mate. All for the love. Chris Lees is going to join us straight after scratchings this morning. Of course, we had Hoosier win the Coffs Harbour Cup, so looking forward to chatting with Chris, plus about his charges for the weekend. Richard Callender, Luke Price, Will Friedman, Mitch Beer. What about the run of Sunrise Ruby? We're going to talk a lot about the Kosciuszko. Well, Sunrise Ruby, boys, was an outstanding run on the weekend, and no doubt Mitch will be keen to showcase him and try, or the mare, and get her in the race. And Casey Fodkin will also join us as well. So we've got a good little program. We're going to be talking a lot about the Kosciuszko. We might even try and talk with some of the big wigs at Tab behind this new app throughout the morning as well, because there's going to be some new features in the app. I know you love the app, Loz, getting on there. And
have you spotted Dicko?
No, I haven't. He's actually sent me an email, Dicko, saying he's not going to be in the office for the next couple of weeks and
yeah,
could all... Is that a forced layoff, Mido, because these have been winning? I didn't want to bring it up, but...
Well, he got some back on the weekend.
Has he got a tap on the shoulder to say, look, mate, just have a couple of weeks? Has he...
Stress leave.
He hasn't... Okay, stress leave, right. Okay. There's not an inquiry or anything. Like, he hasn't got the old NRL tap on the shoulder. He may have a couple of weeks off.
Full support of the board.
Very good. Hey, Mido, have a good day.
You too, mate.
Dog, have a good day. And, Loz, enjoy those arms, mate.
Yep, yeah.
See you, mate.
Why do you like your arms so much, Loz?
Why?
Yeah.
Summer. Singlets.
Just the work you put into them?
Well, you've got to have big arms if you're wearing singlets.
Righto. All right.
You've got to have definition, Dave.
And it's not a wig, is it? Not a rug?
No, it's not a rug.
Righto. Because I was going to get some advice and actually see if I could get me a discount if it was.
Two for one.
Oh, go away, Bulldog. Hooroo. See you, boys.